Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're about to have a conversation on property taxes, what they do not do for the city of Baltimore, how to deal with this issue. Many people are complaining about it. Before we get there, let me say to you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org and click on MeQ's banner there. And here you can call 410-319-8888. Log on to Mark Steiner's Facebook. Make your comments and thoughts there. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Councilman Carl Stokes, District 12, was here just a week or so ago with Mary Pat Clark. One of the issues that came up was property taxes, which is one of the issues he's been talking about a great deal.
Yes, sir.
And we went back and forth about it a bit. And I said, Carl, you got to come back and let's really get into this subject and talk about it. So he's here today to do that, being joined in studio by Anirban Basu, who has been coming on the show almost as long as Carl has for the last 18, 19 years. He's in a economist, chairman and CEO of the Sage Policy Group. Good to have you back in the studios, Anirban.
All right, Mark.
Mel Freeman is with us. Good to see him. He's executive director of the Citizens Planning and Housing Association, CPHA. Good to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
410-319-8888 is the number here. So let's begin where we should, with you,
sure.
Carl Soaps.
Yeah, okay.
So lay the plan and idea out.
Well, It's very difficult, frankly, to lay the plan out on the air. I don't mean to be, but it's just so complex. But having said that, my thought is, along with others, is that we should dramatically reduce the property taxes in Baltimore City. We are not just by far the highest property tax in the state of Maryland, but we're higher almost than anybody else on the East Coast. That's New York City. That's Washington, D.C. That's Boston. The cities up and down the coast have significantly lower property taxes in Baltimore City. And so what it does is it stymies growth in the city. In other words, by having such a high property tax, we actually are decreasing our revenue in Baltimore City for the last 10, 20, 30 years. Anirban, who's an economist, can explain that better than I can. I can't, but it's just a fact of economics that if you hit a number going up, growth stops. If you hit a number coming down, growth happens. The same with buying and selling. So I won't go too far in that.
All right.
But one of the things that people often say is, so Carl, what are you going to cut? What are you going to cut? How are you going to cut? And so I say that you don't have to start with cutting. You start by raising revenue and putting the revenue in what we refer to as a lockbox. In other words, you hold that money. Let's, for example, so I've suggested that the homestead tax credit that you've heard so much about, which is currently capped at 4% in Baltimore City, 10% for most of the state. I've suggested that over a three-year period that you raise that from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10%, 2% each year over 3 years, and then by 2012 you bring it back down to 4%. So what happens? Well, what happens is that—
You mean 2012, you mean 20—
Well, yeah, you're right. I meant 2017.
Okay, right,
absolutely.
Right, right, okay.
I've been trying to compromise with people, so I've been shooting at a 2012 date of some of my friends have said I may be too aggressive. Saying that, I know that if you raise that cap, you will get an increase in revenue into the city, but I don't, and so I want to do that for the first year. And you take all of that money in your second year and you reduce the property tax rate by a number equal to the revenue that you get in. So again, the second year, you're building somewhat of a reserve. So you don't start off by cutting because you talk to me about cutting core services. I disagree with that, that you have to cut core services to begin that. I also want to tell you that many of our large development. Now, Baltimore City acknowledges that we have a too high property tax. How do we acknowledge it? Because any major development, particularly downtown, but and other places around town and in new housing development, we start off by offering the developer a tax break or a tax incentive. Whether they ask for it or not, generally we say, we've got these incentives for you. Pick one. Pick one you like. And that immediately takes the taxes off the table. But two large developers in town have said to me, you know, Councilman, if you could reduce taxes in half sooner rather than later, we don't come in
property
here.
Property taxes.
Right. We don't come in here asking for $150 million TIFs, which we're probably going to see two of those come in the next 4 or 6 months. And we don't come in asking for that because the playing field is level. You're competitive with Anne Arundel. You're competitive with Howard County, Baltimore County, et cetera. And so they come in. They don't ask for these huge bonding mechanisms that go out for years. And by the way, when we go with these TIFs, as much as 30% of the money that we actually spend doesn't go to anything but the servicing of the loan, whether it's the interest, whether it's the legal fees, whether it's the selling of it, the preparation, of, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think in these type of projects where we have to do some infrastructure, as best we can, we should do pay-go as opposed to stretching this way out and costing us a third more than it would cost today. That said, so there's a hotel downtown. I always use an example. You know about it. It's the Marriott. It was built. In a place where we said we don't need a hotel, that we needed at that time, 10 years ago, that we needed a convention center hotel. Someone came and said, look, I'm not going to do the convention center hotel. I'll do this hotel over in Harbor East. And we said, great. You need anything from us? I said, yeah. I'd like for 25 years not to pay property tax on the hotel or the garage. I'll pay a dollar for the garage. I'll pay a dollar for the hotel. So in 10 years, they pay $20. You know, if they had been paying the normal property tax, they would pay $25 million over those 10 years. Yes, they've created jobs. Yes, there's been other taxes. But there's also a new Baltimore City-owned hotel that created jobs that pay other taxes. There are a whole bunch of hotels downtown, some very new, that have created jobs that pay the full freight on taxes. And this hotel, God bless them, is the most successful hotel by room per night in the city of Baltimore. And yet they pay a dollar a year.
So let me just be clear before we turn to Anibal and then over to Mel. So you, what you're saying is, in essence, you do want to cut property taxes by half over
5 years.
Over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that you, the way to do it you have is to bank the money.
Part of it is.
And
part of it is.
And the other is to begin to not allow TIFs and pilots and tax people at a proper rate.
Right. So, right. That's part of it also. There are about 12
I want to get to that.
Yes, to that.
Okay. So, Anibal, your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, I absolutely agree with the councilman that we need to reduce property taxes. And by the way, we're talking about property taxes, but we just raised a bunch of taxes in the city. The income tax went up from 3.05% to 3.2%. The hotel room tax went from 7.5% to 9.5%. There have been other taxes and fees that have gone up, including in the form of water charges, so on and so forth. But let's focus on property tax. You know, this last year, particularly last summer, we focused a lot on that Occupy Baltimore movement. But you know what movement is much more powerful in Baltimore than the Occupy Baltimore movement? By orders of magnitude, the Unoccupy Baltimore movement. Hmm. In 1950, our population in the city was 950,000. The last census said we're home to 621,000 people. And a lot of the people who have left Baltimore still express their views and their decision by not paying taxes here, whether property taxes or piggyback income taxes. They pay those taxes now in Baltimore County or Howard County or Harford County or Carroll County or York County, Pennsylvania. And Councilman Stokes is right. To get population back, to grow the tax base, you have to cut these taxes. You cannot maintain taxes that are twice as high as Baltimore County's. And by the way, Baltimore County, with a tax rate roughly half as high, property tax, maintains a AAA bond rating. Our finances are not nearly that good. The secret sauce here is lower taxes. The question is, how do you get there and still keep the pools open and the fire stations open and keep the streets policed? That's the challenge. And I've said to the councilman before, I'm not sure he remembers it, that 5 years is very aggressive.
Yeah.
But whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, we need to get on that path of lower taxes.
Namel Freeman.
Well, this is a difficult emotional proposition, the tax rate. It seems to me as though that, yes, the tax rate is high. It's twice the counties that surround us. But I'm not really sure why the tax rate has to always be the scapegoat for the entire city. It seems like the tax rate has always been the reason that folks say they leave Baltimore. And that's, to me, is like the cover. I can say that in an open room and people aren't going to say anything to me. But the fact is more deeper than that. The tax rate is simply the out. People leave the city for many, many reasons. Some of them are for the education system. Some of them for the neighborhoods. Many of them for just reasons of I just don't feel safe in my community anymore. But we use the tax rate as the out. And I think that's a little bit unfair when it doesn't fit.
Tax rate is for fifth. I don't think most people use it as the out. I think it's down the line. But it will change dramatically the city. It will pour money into the city. It's not a theory. It has happened over and over again around the United States of America.
Well, go ahead, Bill. I want to get to some questions.
You ask any couple that has been in Baltimore City since they got out of college. They found this great little place down in Canton or Fells Point or somewhere. They're having a great time. Their child gets to be four.
Right.
You ask them where they're going to school, and they get a knot in their stomach.
Right. Four and out.
And it's the taxes. Taxes are too high. But really, they want to say, there's no place I can educate my child. Or they want to say, there's no place for my child to play. These are the amenities that we need in this city that need to be strengthened so these folks will stay here. These are what make neighborhoods great. And this whole thing about getting what we're going to get $40 back on the planned decrease right now, that's not going to make a difference to me.
No. Actually, that's not a good tax plan. It's not a game changer. You have to have a game changer. You have to change people's behavior. You have to get me to go from Shell gasoline to Mobil by dropping the price to a point that it makes sense.
Let me read this email, then we'll go to our first caller, Clarence, 410-319-8888. Whether you live in Baltimore or not, your question is about property taxes in the city, but especially if you live here. Do you want them lowered? What do you think lowering their property taxes would mean? I have some propositions that we came out of our mayoral debate in the last election that I want to raise here because I think they're still very relevant. But first, let me read this from Sheldon, and then I will go to the phones. Sheldon writes in, it's at steinershow@gmail.com. I have one observation about the property tax, more as a citizen than as a tax geek. As lousy as the tax is, and it's a lousy tax, it is very difficult to replace because it is just about the only tax that is both predictable in producing revenue from year to year and within control of local government. There is no sales tax in Maryland. There's no local sales tax in Maryland. And as the recent state education maintenance of effort law demonstrates, the locals don't ultimately control the local piggyback income tax. If the legislature can divert those revenues for educational purposes, there's no reason it could not do so for other purposes. So notwithstanding, the property taxes raise many issues of tax equity and unfair burden for poor jurisdictions like Baltimore City, it's hard to see what reliable alternative sources of revenue could replace it.
This question strikes at the heart of the issue. I mean, the question is, if you increase, let's say, hypothetically, the property tax rate in Baltimore City, which I believe is $2.268 per $100 of assessed value. Let's say you raise it. The question is, do you actually raise revenues? I would answer no. Revenues would decrease because the tax base shrinks. That's the folks in Guilford, Homeland, Roland Park, Locust Point, Fells Point, Canton, Ashburton, Ten Hills voting, you know, with the Unoccupy Baltimore movement. They leave. And that's why the population is falling. You need to add taxpayers. And I disagree with some of the previous comments. I think the tax is front and center in terms of a lot of locational decisions of households. Where do I live? I've heard a lot of young people, including members of my staff, 20-something people, say, I can't afford to buy in the city. What they mean is, I can't afford to buy in the city in the neighborhoods in which I actually have interest because the property tax is too high, which means the closing costs are too high. So I'm going to move to Lock Raven Village or someplace in Baltimore County. That's not the positive dynamic. And these are people who don't have kids yet. So this is not the for and out issue. They just can't get into the city to begin with, to discover schools in Roland Park or Mount Washington or Digital Harbor or whatever it happens to be, because we have some excellent schools. Baltimore School for the Arts is arguably the best high school in the whole state. So I think the taxes are front and center. And I think if you cut taxes, eventually you actually see more revenues, not fewer. You keep more fire stations open, not fewer. I think that's basically the essence of the debate.
Yeah.
So let me get to Mel and then Carl.
I don't necessarily agree with that point. The folks that are making a choice between Baltimore City and in the county, even though they're going to move to the county, they're going to pay a higher price for their home just because the taxes are lower. It's not that big of a difference between one neighborhood inside the city and one neighborhood outside the city. You're just going to have to be offset by either the taxes or by just the higher price in the house.
No. No. 10 years ago, make that argument. That's gone. The bubble that burst in housing has dramatically changed what you just said, Mel. I'm saying to you, you can buy the same house, the same value across the line as you can in Baltimore City. Listen, there's a guy who owns a major company in town. He says, I just moved over from D.C. 4 years ago when we headquartered our company here. I'm paying 2.5 times more in taxes in Baltimore, in Guilford, for same value, same house, same size. You know what? People today who are buying middle income and a little bit more homes in Baltimore City are paying at least half their mortgage goes to the property tax. They're paying $400, $500, $600 a month in property taxes. My colleague, Bill Cole, God bless him, is paying about $13,000 in property taxes. My little house is worth about 2 times that total. I'm just kidding about that. But I'm telling you, when you have to pay that much in the mortgage and you can get the same value of the house, or maybe it's a little more house, across the line, and you pay half that property tax, you're paying $300 a month versus $600 a month, that's an easy choice because you still can come to Baltimore for all of the amenities and you're 15 minutes away.
Mel, and then back over to Anibal through the phones.
But, Councilman, the point Facebook. I was making was that there's still an equality in the value of the houses that are in the county and the lower taxes because the houses are more expensive. You're paying the same price. You've separated the tax factor from your entire mortgage note. If that's the direction you want to take, that's fine. But when it comes right down to that, they're pretty even.
What's pretty even? I'm sorry.
If you could continue to separate the tax component from the actual mortgage of your home, of course ours is going to be larger. But when you put the both in the same pot, they're pretty equal. Except for one, you've got to drive to work. All your amenities you've got to drive downtown for.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm a neighborhood guy. I believe in neighborhoods in the city.
Right.
And I think that you're going to pay a lot more just to have those things in the county.
But live Baltimore. Realtors and others have said to me, this is the number one issue when they're trying to move properties in Baltimore City.
So, Anibal, before we hit the phones here?
No, just as an empirical point, you know, when I look at neighborhoods in Baltimore County that are near the Baltimore City border, Pinehurst, Stoneleigh, upscale neighborhoods, the prices there are very similar to what you'll find in Roland Park and Homeland inside the city. So I think a lot of that gap in price, I would have agreed 10 years ago that the counties, you know, on a square foot basis, a county home is worth twice what a city home is, and so the tax bite is not as sharp. But after the boom and now the bust, the prices have equalized more on a square footage basis, and the tax has real bite.
So let's go to the phones here. Now, I do want to raise the issue, you know, when you talk about, at least in the I don't know what the fiscal year numbers are now, but when we had this debate last year, property taxes brought in about $766. So you cut that in half, that's at $383. So where do you make up the money? We need to talk about that. Where does that come from? And I want to ask our listeners at 410-319-8888. Whether you live in the city or not, I'm curious, did you leave the city because of taxes? Do you live in Baltimore County now, Harford County, Prince George's County, Howard County, Anne Arundel County, where you're listening to us from? If you maybe once lived here or thought about living here, don't live here, is that the reason? What do you think about the taxes you're paying in the city here? Whether you live in Mount Washington, where a friend of mine says he's retired, but he's paid his house off, but it costs him $12,000 a year to live in his house. Anyway, 410-319-8888, no matter where you live in the city, what are your thoughts? Property taxes, up, down, to my closing swimming pools this summer. How many, Carl?
Six.
Six. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Steiner.
Good evening, Clarence.
I have one quick question and a comment. Persons responsible for building the new senior centers on Garrison, are you saying that they would be approached in the same manner as people that recently built the Four Seasons downtown and like the new developments that are over in Fed Hill as far as tax incentives and an incentive? incentives to build? Is there an equality among that process? Somebody that wants to build a 50-unit seniors building up in Park Heights, are they treated the same way as somebody who wants to build a whole major hotel down in Harbor East? And also, there's also a question of, you're equating improving the quality of life in Baltimore City with reduction in property tax. Somehow that just doesn't jive with me. Thanks, guys.
Was that
okay. Can I take the second part? Because here's what I'm not doing a good job of telling you, is that by the third year, fourth year, the revenues increase, so we have more money to construct schools, to keep rec centers open, to open more pools.
Can you very simply describe how you do that? By your
increases.
Plan? Describe very simply how you do that.
Okay. So
plan.
Can I tell you about Boston? Does that work for you or does it? Can I talk to you about other cities in the United States who at the time were worse off than Baltimore City? But when they dramatically changed, Boston dropped its tax rate 75%.
But a wealthier city, and how long ago did that happen?
But when it happened, it was not a wealthier city.
Right. It was worse than Baltimore when it happened.
The late 1970s. Worse means higher unemployment, worse socioeconomic status, schools that are not performing particularly well. You know, through the late 1970s, this is a pretty vibrant city. And here's the amazing thing about it, Mark. I would argue to you, and this will seem strange to say to some people, but our quality of life in the city can be very, very good. I mean, we have the best museums, we have the aquarium, we have the stadiums, we have the Hippodrome Theater, we have the culture in this city, we have lovely open space, Patterson Park, so on and so forth, we have the Inner Harbor, we've got historic neighborhoods. There is no community in any county in this state that can match Bolton Hill for architecture. None. So a lot of people talk about and the point is, even with all of that, we cannot make the value proposition. We lose more population than we gain. And again, I think schools, crime, grime have a lot to do with it, but a lot of it has to do with taxes. You lower the taxes, you bring in tax base. That's what I think what Councilman Stokes is talking about.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I want to answer our caller's question. We have like three callers here waiting online. We've got three Facebook comments.
To the first part. Probably every development in Baltimore is receiving a tax incentive because in Baltimore you pretty much can't do a development without a tax incentive because the taxes are too high. And so are they the same as downtown? Generally, no. Generally, the downtown taxes include a lot – millions of dollars for infrastructure, for roads development, for underground pipes, et cetera. When you build something on Park Heights, for example, very rarely does anyone ask for roads or infrastructure. They ask for a break on the taxes over 5 years, 10 years, and so we get less property tax back from those developments in the first 10 years or so.
So I'm going to read this comment from one of our listeners, and this is from Laura Perkins, who wrote in on the Mark Steiner Show, Mark Steiner page, not the Mark Steiner Show page. You can write in there as well. Okay. And then, by the way, folks, Carlton, Mike, and William in that order. Hold on, we're going to get to all your calls as soon as we come back from break. But Laura writes in, yes, I asked the question, should we cut property taxes in Baltimore City by half as Councilman Carl Stokes proposes? Thoughts? Responses? Yes, the city takes far too much taxpayer money and wastes on boondoggles, misguided proposals, and gifts to crony developers. Since I moved here 6 years ago and chose a neighborhood close to the Senator Theater because it was such a cool place, the city has wasted my time, my money, and brought down my property value with their ridiculous and corrupt scheme to undermine the Senator and take the property from the nationally recognized award-winning former owner and hand over to a far less experienced operators who aren't maintaining the place properly. I'm outraged that I'm paying for this crap. Gabriel Kapik writes in, considering property taxes pay for half the budget for our schools. You cut half of that, and that takes out a quarter of the budget of the Baltimore City public school system. Unless the money is replaced from other sources, this would be like cutting off your nose despite your face in the worst possible way. And I think that response first to go to Anibon,
yes,
former school board member.
Yes, Mike? Former school board member. We get a lot of money, by the way, from the state of Maryland. That would be untouched. But the other issue is there's this maintenance of effort. Local government also chips in to finance the schools. But again, I think people are somehow missing the point. What we are doing by maintaining the status quo tax rate of 2.268 per $100 of assessed value is reducing tax revenues, not increasing them. Notice we deal with the structural fiscal deficit each and every year. Why is that? Because this tax rate is not sustainable. Forget about the fact whether it's a good economy or a bad economy. In good economies and bad economies, this city has faced fiscal shortfalls. If you want sustainability, in other words, if you want to have resources so you can continue to finance the schools on an ongoing basis, you have to cut the taxes, you have to bring the tax base in, you have to repopulate the city, and then you can have vibrant schools with a healthy dose of city financing, not just reliant upon the state of Maryland. That's, I think, what the councilman is saying, and he's right. Now, 5 years, again, is very aggressive. I would argue you could do it over 15 years, 20 years. But the point is, you've got to get that onto that trajectory.
So, Mel, take us to break, and then we'll come back to Carlton and Edgewood, our first caller up.
I think it's more a case of, you know, folks want to come to Baltimore City, and they want to be here for the right reasons. And we're going to have to make this really an opportunity for folks to say, I'm going to go to Baltimore City. I'm going to make sure that my child gets educated because I'm going to make sure the schools do their job. I'm going to make sure Rec and Parks has a place for me to go and get my exercise and, you know, demand what I need for my town.
We're going to give a brief break. Carlton, you're the first caller up. We're going to come second caller up. Mike, William, we're going to come to your calls. Read Travis's email as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. I want to remind you as we go into this conversation that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. If you're a first or second time home buyer in Baltimore, looking for a house in Baltimore, there are deals for you at 1-800-638-7781. 1-800-638-7781, the Maryland Mortgage Program for Houses in Baltimore. And we're talking about a subject very similar to that right now with our guest, Anibam Basu, chairman and CEO of the Sage Policy Group, a noted economist who's been a guest on the show for the last 19 years of its airing. Carl Stokes, same thing, been on the show forever, Baltimore City Councilman, District 12. Mel Freeman, Executive Director of the Citizens Planning and Housing Association, 410-319-8888. I want to raise some of the issues we talked about during the break because I think they get to the heart of the matter. But first, as I promised, to the phones, Carlton and Edgewood, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I don't have a position as far as or an understanding of the larger impact of lowering the property tax rate on the city's finances. But speaking from the perspective of a lending officer, I'm a loan officer, and what I see, I've been working with nonprofits and individuals buying and selling homes in Baltimore for several years. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is that the property tax rate is only one of the factors that determines how much an individual pays in property tax. There's also a matter of assessment. Mm-hmm. And it seems that this issue is a result of sort of the increasing price, sales price of homes in newer developments, because a large percentage of the older homes, the stock in Baltimore City, the valuation, the assessment is so low that, you know, you could charge 10%. And the amount of actual taxes paid on that property is going to be very low. So I think this property tax rate issue is a result of sort of the transition from, you know, working class city to what Baltimore wants to be, is more of an elitist type of city where home prices are, you know, the middle income and lower incomes are priced out of the market, and then that tax rate does become a major issue for the majority of folks though who are buying, you know, $50,000 homes. 2% on the assessment, that's relatively low, lower than the market value, is not an insurmountable expense.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. That's right. I mean, where you're really going to impact, thank you, Mark, where you're really going to impact the market is in places where, you know, the people who are paying the most taxes, the people who are paying $13,000 a year or $20,000 a year, the kinds of people who live at the Ritz-Carlton and Guilford and so on and so forth. Now, those are pretty important people. Because they often don't use a lot of city services. Many of them send their kids not even to our public schools. They go to Bryn Mawr and Gilman and so on and so forth. But they pay extraordinary amounts of money each and every year to the city treasury. You want to keep those people in place. In fact, you want to grow that population. And as I notice, you know, in these neighborhoods, there's a lot of pent-up demand to sell out of the city. They haven't sold their homes yet in Guilford and Homeland and Roland Park. Why? Because the market's been bad. It's been a bad time to sell a home. As the market stabilizes, gets better, my sense is a lot of these people are ready to sell their homes. And my prayer is they stay in the city, and we'll see.
And I also think, Carl, that it affects affordable housing also, particularly rental housing. In other words, you got to get investors to come in and rehab Baltimore City's vacant properties, build new homes for moderate income rental property, as well as new home ownership. And a lot of folk are not doing that now because they just can't do the expenses.
You have a thought, Mel, before we go back to the phones? 410-319-8888. Thank you for that call. Mike in Owings Mills, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just left the city a month ago for that very same reason. My mortgage, my property taxes on my house were $200 more than my principal and interest. And I moved into the county, I got more bang for my dollars. That was one of the major reasons I left the city. And I love the city. I love the convenience. I love the architecture, the whole ambiance of the city, but it's just too expensive. And in the home, the values of the houses are going up, and assessment is outrageous. I can't afford to do it. I got more house with a lesser payment in the city, I mean, the county, than I did to the city. So while they were saying that property taxes doesn't change someone's idea where they want to live, that's not true, because that's the main reason I left.
And now, Owings Mills, because its population is growing, and there's actually a competition between developers there to develop the next big project at Metro Center, the new mall, as the mall is redeveloped there, and then there's a Wegmans coming to another development called Foundry Row. So that population growth is translating into a Wegmans, ultimately in Owings Mills. We're fighting just to keep our grocery stores around here. And that's that. I mean, that's the impact of population decline. You also get commercial decline. So not only do you lose the taxpayer on the home, but you might lose the businesses associated with those households, and you lose the jobs and the income, and there's a multiplier effect on that. You got to change that flow. You got to take that outflow and make it into an inflow. The only way to do that is, as this gentleman suggests, change the calculus.
Mel, let me go back to the phone.
I'm fine.
410-319-8888. Yes, William on the west side of Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Stein, and your guest also.
Hi, William.
Yes, I heard a lot about the city giving incentives for companies to locate in the city, and you know, which go out many years. I think they should also consider efficiency, because when you think of a home, if you think of yourself as a person, your biggest expense is energy and mortgage. The mortgage is basically fixed, and the only variable that you may have an input to would be energy and how your house is built. So I think because of such large commercial buildings, such large surface areas, they can, I mean, the Department of Energy gives grants to put solar and things like that, which could generate electricity, generate revenue, and some of that revenue could go to the city as exchange for the tax breaks. Because, you know, if you give, supposedly a business is just going to draw people in, and if those people leave the city, then really the city's not really getting a benefit from it. But the energy, as far as I know, the sun is very reliable and it comes up every day almost. So you would definitely get a lot of revenue from just that alone. The Department of Energy, the Department of Defense, Department of Transportation, they all give out grants to different cities, different counties, but Baltimore County, Baltimore City seems to be left out of the equation for incentives. If you look on the Department of Energy's website and you go for Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County,
right,
all these other counties, they seem to have a great tax break, but Baltimore City is sort of left. Nobody's like looking at the cow that ran out of the gate. Nobody's looking at that, you know. But everybody's looking at the other counties. But that's my concern. Baltimore has a large surface area, a lot of vacant land that could be modernized. I mean, we're in the 21st century. We can go to space, and we know how many planets we have. Why can't we make the city more efficient.
All right, William, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I want to kind of keep the focus on property taxes, but that's an issue we've raised on the show before. Before we go back to the phones, Maggie in Hamilton has a question, and I have some things I want to raise here. Travis Ducote writes in on Facebook page, shocking that someone in a well-to-do uptown neighborhood wants to wants tax cuts and austerity. You cannot increase services, which require revenue, by cutting. It's simple math. And then goes on to say, excuse me, folks, for one second, goes on to say, actually, on the Mark Steiner Show page, he wrote again, so let me finish his whole thought, is that Anirban Sood is a venture capitalist. He's simply lobbying for cuts for his friends and clients. Sad that there's no counterbalance to this voice. Well, I think that's not true. I think Malus is a very honorable man. He's been my friend for a long time. And Mel is here as well, and we're asking lots of questions here. But I think that the question – let's talk about this. I mean, how can you – let's talk about cutting taxes in half, even incrementally over the years, and not talk about what happens to investments in rec centers, investments in schools, investments in keeping pools open, in continuing the city to keep it going. We can barely do that now. We're talking about cutting, closing schools, selling off rec centers, selling the Shot Tower, for God's sake. I mean, that's madness. So you're talking about cutting taxes. With Shot Tower's going to become a new condo. What are we talking about here?
I think, Mark, I mean, it's an untenable situation. That's the point. And you want to talk about simple math. Let's talk about some simple math. Baltimore County's tax rate is lower. They generate more in property tax revenues than we do per person. Montgomery County's property taxes are lower. They generate far more property tax revenues per household than we do. And why is that? It's because they have grown population. Montgomery County has 900,000 people. Baltimore County has roughly 800,000 people. We have 621,000 people. We used to have a lot more population than Montgomery County and Baltimore County. It's an untenable, unsustainable situation. You said it 18 times. You got to bring back tax base. But, and you can't bring back tax base by making it so difficult for the tax base to get here.
Well, let me suggest something. Yeah. You can come back then. Carl, please, and Mel, please jump in here. But when we keep talking about people leaving the city, I don't want to digress in this too deeply, but people left this city over a period of 30 years, not because of the tax rate. People left it because black folks were moving the neighborhood. Right. So they moved to Baltimore County, and they moved to Anne Arundel County. They wanted to get away from black people, and they left. That's a reason a lot of people left the city when I was growing up in this town.
I'm with you.
Right?
That's right.
That's why there were more white folks in Forest Park on the east side of town. Right. That's where they went.
Mark, that's fine, except right? How do you explain Randallstown? How do you explain the fact that so many African-American members of the middle class also moved out of Baltimore
because
City?
Because when that happened and the city became deindustrialized and we lost jobs, that the folks who were left in this town who were from working-class families ended up becoming poor families in the inner cities. Crime developed because people had no jobs. Mm-hmm. Families fell apart. And so people who did make the middle class from the black community said, I can get out of here. I'm going. I'm moving to Randallstown. So, I mean, that's part of what happened as well.
You're right. Right?
Yeah, they did. They did.
Great history lesson there. You're right. You're absolutely right. And I think I think philosophically we're in different places. So Anirban and I may not be the movie guys because what we're saying
here I'm agnostic here. I'm trying to get to what we should be doing.
But
I'm not
it is an
taking
economic principle. That's what we're saying. We're not imagining. We're not theorizing. I apologize, but I think you think we're theorizing here. We're not theorizing. We're telling you that the reason that a Walmart became huge is because they said we're going to undercut. We're going to sell lower. And people said we're going to buy more from you. And I'm saying to you, not as well as Anirban can do, there's an economic principle here that says when you hit a certain number, revenue increases, Mark. So I'm saying to you, when the tax rate goes down, the revenue increases. Rather, you saying to me, if you cut the tax, you're cutting services. And I'm saying that's not logical. You're saying it is very much logical. And I'm saying to you, it's not logical. It's actually the reverse. It's counterintuitive, but it is the reverse that happens.
Mel.
I've got just a couple points here. It's very difficult to talk about saying I want to move to Baltimore City for various reasons. But the ones that are staring us right in the face, we've talked about time and time before. Folks want to have their children educated, and they don't want to pay for the education such as a private school. Folks want to make sure their families can exercise and play in parks and recreation centers. They want to be able to enjoy their quality of life. They want to have grass in their yards. They want to do everything else that everyone else does. But it's hard to have that when there's so much against it. There are other issues that there are some solutions we're working on, and that is, you know, there are folks that are living here in Baltimore City that they're ready to make that change to the next size larger house. They're only given one choice. They have to leave the city. And one of those reasons is the homestead tax credit's pretty cool. Everyone loves it. But we've got to figure out how to make that portable. If you've been living in the city and you've got the homestead tax credit, you want to move into that next size larger house, let's do it. Let's figure out how to do it. I'd love to say that was my idea, but it's not. But these are things that we have to be inventive. We have to figure out how to draw people here. We have to figure out how to keep people here. We have to figure out how to, you know, there's a lot of different folks that should be living in the city that don't live in the city. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. I agree. So what about the people who want to move into the city, who want to move next door to Carl Stokes, and I'm paying $200 because I have a homestead tax credit. They move in. Their assessment says they're going to pay $6,000 in property taxes. Or let's take another number, $3,000. I right now get a credit of $3,100 every year on my credit, on my tax, okay? Every year, $3,100. Guy moves in next. If I sell my house to him, he doesn't pay what I pay, my $300. He pays $3,500.
Correct.
So what about the people who move in next door to me? They look at me paying $300. They're paying $3,500. Do they feel good about that?
Nope.
Nope, they don't.
So why don't we give them a tax break like we give the big buildings downtown then?
I think that's why we're here.
I'm talking about the individual. You just talked about someone that moves in next door to someone else that's paying more for the exact same house.
That's right. So what's your point? You say give it to the homeowner but not to the business?
No, I'm saying give it to the new person that wants to move in.
Right.
They're the one that needs the tax break. That's the incentive that's needed.
Right.
Why not just lower taxes?
Yeah.
Why not just lower taxes then? Make it simple.
Why don't we lower taxes when we get to a point where it makes sense?
It won't cost me any more. You know what?
We're not there yet.
If we lower my taxes by half, pay less taxes.
Carl?
Let
me go back to the phones here. Okay. And I have another question. 410-319-8888. Maggie in Hamilton, you're on the air.
Am I on now?
Yes, you are, Maggie. You're on the air.
We miss you from WIPR.
I'm happy where I am.
I was born and raised in Ireland.
Thank you, though.
And I'm looking at the wild conversation there for the last 20 minutes or so. Let me tell you something, one of the reasons I came to Baltimore. Number one, because of Hopkins.
Right.
Number two, because of the Walters Art Museum. And number three, because of the BMA, because I'm sort of an artist, but I went into other things after I came to Baltimore, and I choose Baltimore. Now, the chaps that seem to be putting Baltimore down, I find it, if I may say, rather upsetting, because this is the monumental city. This is a city we're going to be celebrating later this year, the 1812 War, am I right?
You're right.
Right.
And my father in Ireland, I was born and raised in a farm in the west of Ireland. My father loved this part of America. And I'm so glad that I'm here because he's passed away. And I cannot wait to see the celebrations of the Great American War. Right, I'm happy enough to be, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be right in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Around the fabulous art museums.
Yes, they're fantastic.
And my family and I, the part of my family is here. It's like, let's bring unity and not be divisive. I mean, does that sound stupid, Mark?
It does make sense. But, Carl, what do you think?
Right, I agree with you 100%. These amenities in Baltimore can't be recreated anywhere. It's fantastic. I wish the counties would help more. I more agree with the one state, one rate.
Let me read a comment from that. Maggie, I appreciate the sentiment, too, that you said earlier. But the other people were writing in here that if we cut taxes, nobody wants to move to a neighborhood with no schools, trash pickup, or police. Taxes pay for these things. You can't convert the entire city into Arbor East. Working people need to live here, too. Linda writes in, first, before you anything else, in the state of Maryland, assessment should be based on fairly determined real values. No more subsidizing Roland Park on the back of the poor middle class. Second, let's collect back taxes. I think one-third of the people in the city have paid taxes in these years, and money plus fines from people who that illegally took property tax credits. Third, let's come up with a formula that will be fair for property tax credits linked to income and home value. Fourth, the city needs an accurate billing system and someone to manage it. Get rid of those people who can't. Doing these things should bring in more money, reduce tax burden, and making it possible to reduce property taxes a bit. So the question we had earlier here about the question I said to you during the break was that does any of this make any difference given the state of the city, mm-hmm. the deep poverty that exists in this city, and how we base property taxes in this state around localities and jurisdictions, that nothing will be done, really, until you change the way we do property taxes and the thing that nobody wants to talk about, which is equalizing them around the state and then sharing revenue. I mean, how else are we going to get to the point where the city can really grow without that? And maybe I'm just out of my mind, Anibon. Not out of my mind. Maybe I'm incorrect.
Maybe you're out of your mind. I don't know. I mean, we can talk about that next week on a show. That'd be a good show. I don't think that we need to get there. I mean, I think Baltimore City, believe it or not, can do this on its own. Yes, we are a city home to grinding poverty, but we're a city also home to significant resources. We are the center of medical research on the East Coast. We're home to the finest hospital in the world. We have many higher education institutions, including, of course, the one we're at today, Morgan State, but Hopkins, Loyola, so on and so forth. And so we have the juice economically to make this happen. We are our own worst enemy. I mean, we don't need to blame the state or anybody else. We are our own worst enemy. We have created a structure which is not that attractive, despite all the museums and the aquarium and the harbor and the hippodrome and center stage and all the rest of it, because it's a fabulous city. I mean, I agree with the woman from Ireland, who is now from Baltimore. It's a fabulous city. It should be better economically. It should be better fiscally, and it should be sustainable fiscally, and it's not. That is because we have created a structure that's not tenable. So that's what we're talking about here. Right. How do you restructure this so that it becomes tenable? But economically, we're not the victims here. We have plenty of good jobs, plenty of strong institutions. We have a beautiful 81 square miles. And by the way, one of the ways that the city can raise revenue is by selling the property that it owns. The mayor and the city council own a lot of this city. Sell it. Raise some revenues that way. And before you get to the shot tower.
You're talking about the houses, the abandoned houses, the places that we—
I'm talking about vacants to values.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And listen, let's not go to Boston. We just proved this theory. Now I'm going to call it a theory, although it's not a principle. It is. So we built a new city in Baltimore. It's called In the Harbor East. Heavily subsidized. But it's a brand new city. Theaters, bowling alleys, Four Seasons. It's a tremendous place. It's turning cash revenues over in tremendous numbers. And we subsidized it. We gave tax breaks so it would be built. It could be built. And it is a huge success. A huge success. And if we should you think that we should just give tax breaks to some in the city and not to others in the city, or some parts of the city and not other parts of the city, you think that that's a fair thing? Do you think we could maybe drive this economic engine if we went across the city and gave such incentives?
Let me just say, Mel, I want to get to you come in here. So let me say I agree with you totally, Anibon, about we should be selling all the city properties that are vacant and not there. They should just be sold, find buyers, make the deals you have to make to get them moving, whatever that means. That has to happen. Mel.
Mark, going back to your statewide tax base conversation point, there's barely any issues in town that we can get the rest of the legislature to follow what the city wants to do. We just lost a big battle with trying to get the cross-border jurisdictions for the new legislative districts because the city's going to lose a district. It just means we have less folks that want to pay attention to our needs. The chance of us getting an opportunity to have a statewide one, I'm not even sure what other jurisdiction would step up and say, yeah, good idea.
That's not going to happen. I just threw it out there, but it's not going to happen. You're right. And I think that but cross-border jurisdictions is a whole other issue, a different issue that we've talked about before on the show that's important. So, I mean, I think that the stuff that's been posited here has been very interesting, and I think that it deserves more debate on this program and discussion because I think something has to be done radically different for the city of Baltimore if it's going to move and survive because we can't continue closing rec centers, closing pools, and having deteriorated housing in the city. The city has to grow, and I think we do have the institutions you're talking about. I think that there's got to be a way to rebuild the city and put the people to work who live in the city doing that. Like if you took $1.2 billion that the city could get right now for constructing schools.
Sure.
As Alonzo and others are suggesting that we do, which I think makes an eminent amount of sense.
It does.
Then you could put a lot of people to work in the city who don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things we can do, but we don't think that way.
Mark,
we're our own worst enemy, as you said earlier, Anima.
On April 17th, we're going to be hosting an event where we're going to be talking about rec centers and the importance of them to communities from cradle to grave. It's not just about the youth. It's about rec centers playing a role in all of our neighborhoods from, you know, families with 2 and 3 year olds to our senior population, where we should be utilizing buildings and structures for more than just one thing. And that's going to give us an opportunity to talk about where we can have some savings, because that's what we need to figure out, how to spend our dollars more wiser to get a little more done.
Sure, absolutely. Agreed. But when the mayor says to you, where are you going to get the money, what's the answer? Because that's what she's going to say. What's the answer? Where are we going to get the money to reopen rec centers, to create more resources for young people and older people in the city? Where are we going to get the money?
By the way, I think City Hall realizes that you just can't raise the property tax anymore. I mean, we're dealing with this massive structural deficit, and we're not talking about raising the property tax. You know why? Because the tax base has had it. They can't deal with it anymore.
You cannot raise the property tax in Baltimore City.
Exactly. I mean, economically, it would be disastrous. And that's the point.
You think we can raise it? You don't think we
can. No, I don't think we
can raise it.
We can or should. And as Anibon said at the top of the show, it's not just property taxes. We've raised poor Baltimore citizens in the sense that we have topped out the highest tax rates for cell phones, electricity rates. We really have overburdened the citizens of the city with taxes across the board. It's so unfair.
Do we have time for one more caller to sneak in here? Yes, we do. Yes? Good. Let's get somebody in. Gerard, you've been waiting a while. You're on the air. Hi, Gerard. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We only have a couple minutes left, though, but you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello? Can you hear me?
We only have a couple of minutes left. Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
First of all, I'd like to thank Mr. Stokes for his involvement in the Oliver community. I was raised in the Oliver community and looks a little bit different from the 80s and 90s.
Thank
I just
you.
Wanted to say that the gentleman that spoke about why people, the white folks left Baltimore.
I said that.
Yeah, that's fine, because if they left to get away from black folks, that's fine. A lot of black people did leave because of the crime and things like that.
Well, but, I'm sorry, I didn't know we, if I'd known we were that tight, we wouldn't have had you on. I apologize. We have to roll out of here. I want to thank our guest, Carl Stokes, for coming back here at the discussion.
I'm glad to be with you,
just the beginning. My good friend, Anibon Basu, thank you for so much
thank
taking your time to be here. Mel Freeman, thank you so much for taking your time to be here.
Thank you.
For all of our listeners. I want to remind you here that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, cultures, food, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbanitBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Arison and Justin Levy. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. Our interns are Elizabeth Walker, Tiffany Means, and Alex Pearson. We're engineered by Reggie Tucker. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. This show, again, podcast, any of our past shows, and to find out information about our guests and what we've been talking about this evening, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Coming up right next is Wealthy Lifestyle with Deborah Owens, Thou Shall Prosper, and that you'll have that great conversation with her coming up in the next hour. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.